Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Tuesday, June 17, 2014. The Addis Ababa peace talks are postponed for a second time after an IGAD official reportedly made insulting remarks.
They have to make an apology because it was clear, you know, that Mahbub has insulted the principal. There's no need for such a low-ranking official to insult the head of the state.
And girls in Western Equatoria State applaud the opening of another boarding school in Iba County.
The problems we are facing, one is early pregnancy when we are still in primary. Because if we are in primary, when they ring the bell that we go home, you can find a boy start confusing you. Those are the challenges we are facing.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The second round of talks between South Sudan's pro- and anti-government forces has been delayed for a second day in Addis Ababa. Both sides are making new demands. Juba says it wants IGAD mediators to apologize for making insensitive remarks about the president and rebel leader Riek Machar, while anti-government side wants fresh selection of civil society representatives at the talks. For VOA News, Philip Aleu reports from Juba.
President Kiir has sent an envoy to Ethiopian Prime Minister Hailemariam Mariam Desalegn with a letter of protest over the attitude of the mediators. Foreign Affairs Minister Barnaba Marial Benjamin called on Prime Minister Desalegn in his capacity as chairperson of the IGAD to make action against IGAD Executive Secretary Mahbub Maalim, who was quoted by media reports last week as saying if President Kiir and rebel leader Riek Machar think they can win the war in the battlefield, then in his words, they are stupid. President Kiir's spokesman, Atenyewek Ateny, says the postponement of the talks in the Ethiopian capital is necessary so IGAD can apologize.
They have to make apology because it was clear, you know, that Mahbub has insulted the principal. There's no need for such a low-ranking official to insult the head of his state. You know, even if he was the president of IGAD, he cannot equate himself with the head of his state. Because IGAD comprises of countries that are sovereign.
Wek says the talks were also postponed because the opposition delegate did not arrive for the talks on time. Opposition spokesperson Hussein Marinyot says his side boycotted the start of the talks yesterday because they fear many voices may not be represented in the talks and complains the talks are not inclusive.
Over 250 people were flown from Juba, and we thought the symposium was just to explain, to share experiences with other countries that went through the same situation like South Sudan. But again, this symposium was turned to be the decision mechanism, the decision body, that actually they have to select members to the peace talks, which we saw that is a rigging process.
The statement attributed to IGAD's executive secretary also angered the opposition. Banyot says it is not the main reason the talks were postponed.
We want all the stakeholders of South Sudan to attend these peace talks so that we could actually reach a durable peace in South Sudan. But by saying that let the like minds rally behind the two parties, is actually making it better so that we could actually move. Otherwise, when you have six stakeholders, a round table, I don't know how fast we can actually reach an agreement.
Nyot says when the opposition's concerns are met, the talk will proceed. He says his side is reviewing new proposals from the mediators and will soon make a final decision. Wek says the government is not pulling out of the talks entirely, but insists that the IGAD officials have to act responsibly.
We are making it clear to the IGAD that as people who are supposed to be neutral in the mediation, they should look at some certain responsibilities. Of course, we recognize the fact that people of South Sudan are suffering, and as government, who has the day-to-day responsibility, we don't want to prolong the war. We don't want to continue fighting.
But that is what is exactly happening in parts of the country as the two sides continue to vigor over proposals and name-calling. For BOA News, I'm Philip Donaleu in Juba.
South Sudan's Political Parties Leadership Forum, an umbrella group of the country's political parties, has condemned the postponement of the talks on South Sudan in the Ethiopian capital, Addis Ababa. As Mungume Devs Rakarenji reports from Juba, party officials weren't eager to press the two parties to respect the 60-day deadline already agreed by President Kiir and rebel leader Riek Machar.
Following a meeting to discuss the status of the peace process, party officials called today's news conference to voice their concerns about the postponed talks. United Democratic Salvation Party Secretary General Cesar Taban read a statement on behalf of the 20 parties represented in the umbrella group.
I stand to support the IGAD mediation position to urge the stakeholders and the friends of IGAD and South Sudanese communities to exert efforts on the two warring parties so that the direct talks begin as soon as possible to meet the 60 days deadline. I stand firm to oppose any position that delays peace talks.
The Political Parties Forum called on the two warring parties to end the fighting and what they described as political bickering and return to negotiating table. Peter Lomode is a committee member of United South Sudan Party, one of the parties whose participation at the talks the SPLM in opposition has rejected.
Our people are suffering. Children and women are dying every day. So our position is we want immediate peace.
Lomode says the opposition is not justified in dictating who participates in the talks. He says his party has more than 10,000 supporters in all 10 states. United Democratic Front party chairman Sebastian Uchan-Kiech agrees. He blames the warring parties for dragging the country into more suffering.
After this war, we are facing diseases, malaria, cholera, and so forth. And we are now seeing with that hunger is coming, which is the most devastating issue. People are dying. So why kill ourselves? Why not sit in peace, come together and discuss all our issues diplomatically and in a gentleman way?
Kiech says his party, one of the oldest in the country, is ready to work with the transitional government. Andrew Philipson, External Affairs Secretary for the National Justice Movement Party, says he does not see why the two parties have taken so long to reach a deal.
This is something which is not our affairs, but it's known to them. Maybe everyone is not ready to tell the truth, the whole thing. Otherwise, should they be very open? I think by now, things would have been over.
Philipson believes IGAD has the ability to help resolve the current crisis, and the talks will soon be back on track. For VOA News, I am Gumedes Ruakarinj in Juba.
In an effort to end escalating intercommunal tensions created by the ongoing conflict, South Sudanese government officials are taking up the idea of reconciliation and national unity with citizens who fled to Uganda. Vice President James Waniga led a team to the Ugandan capital over the weekend to try to convince them to return home. But many South Sudanese say they still don't feel safe in their home country. Lucy Pony has more for VOA News from Nairobi.
The team spoke to thousands of South Sudanese at a Kampala-based university under the theme, Come and Let Us Reason Together to Help Build One Nation and One People of South Sudan. Vice President James Waniga says Juba is committed to resolving the ongoing conflict through peaceful dialogue and appealed to South Sudanese living both inside and outside of the country to reconcile and move forward as a united nation. He assured the crowd in Kampala that the government is firmly in control.
I am here to clarify things for you, because some people misunderstand the idea of a transitional government. They think it means Salva and his government will go. That's a very mistaken understanding of it. It doesn't happen anywhere, or else someone should show me a situation where a rebel group has signed an agreement with an established government in which the latter had to be dissolved. This doesn't happen anywhere.
IGA criticized the idea of a power-sharing government that includes anti-government forces, saying it could encourage more people to rebel against the government in the future. Many in the crowd were skeptical. Daniel Lual Kwot, A pastor from the Episcopal Church of Sudan says he believes efforts to reconcile communities will only succeed if they are jointly initiated by leaders from both sides of the conflict. Quart argues that unless the government holds soldiers accountable for atrocities committed against civilians, its efforts to restore peace will not succeed.
You know, justice should prevail, and people should bring to justice. We must address the root cause, and I think that one will help us a lot.
Pastor Quart urged IGAD mediators to ensure that neither President Kiir nor his former deputy Riek Machar take part in the next government of South Sudan.
Things will be difficult. I'm afraid that if the two men come back to Juba and they chair the government, then there might be another crisis ahead of us.
Kampala University student Dengai Gatluak says the government should take its national peace and reconciliation campaign to communities at the grassroots level in South Sudan rather than in Kampala.
We also have people whose parents are in the forest, people whose parents revolt against the government, in which if we wanted to have peace as South Sudanese, we must involve people from the opposition side and from the government in order for us to sit down and see the root cause of that conflict so that we will look on how to solve it. But not only the government side, to come and tell us how the peace and reconciliation needs to be conducted.
Gadluak Kot, another South Sudanese citizen living in Kampala, says the government must drop its failed coup attempt narrative if it wants to reconcile communities and achieve lasting peace.
The reconciliation team from the start are being biased, because if they cannot drop words of coup and they cannot put more blames on the other side, then that means there is no reconciliation that will happen at all.
The university gathering was organized by the embassy in Kampala. For VOA News, I'm Lucy Pony in Nairobi.
Bonifacio Taban prepared this report from Kampala. Authorities in Western Equatoria inaugurated another state's girls' school this past weekend in hopes of encouraging girls to stay in school. Gift Friday has the story for VOA from Yambio, Western Equatoria State.
Teenage Girls, seeing as the new boarding school in Iba County was officially opened on Saturday. 16-year-old Lois Justin Mihipai from Gracia Nursery and Primary School says girls will now have an opportunity to study and complete primary school. She hopes she will be one of those girls.
The problems we are facing, one is early pregnancy when we are still in primary. Because if we are in primary, when they ring the bell that we go home, you can find the boys start confusing you. Those are the challenges we are facing. I'm proud of that boarding and I wish I could go there.
15-year-old Catherine Bennett is calling on state officials to build more boarding schools for girls.
If they could bring another boarding here, it could be good for us because we could go there and stay there. And we have a lot of work at home to do. Our parents, they give us a lot of work. One, you go and fetch water. Two, you cook. Even we don't have time to study.
The school is the brainchild of Iba County Commissioner Brigitte Nagomoro.
In 2001, when I came to Iba for a visit, I saw there was no light for the women in particular, with no future in terms of education, self-sufficiency, and the liberty. I felt that I must do something to educate and groom the young women of 10 years for tomorrow. I wanted the school to start from nursery through primary and up to secondary, with those who may be unable to go to university, branching off to vocational school. That was my vision for girls.
Nagomoro says the school will admit 10 to 18-year-old girls, regardless of their financial, ethnic, or religious background. The school currently has 40 pupils for the start from across the state. Like elsewhere in South Sudan, many girls in Western Equatoria often drop out of school due to large part to early pregnancies and marriages. Nagomoro says she hopes with the boarding school in the area, many girls will now stay in school longer. and eventually will produce a generation of South Sudanese future women leaders.
Major objectives for my vision are to transform and empower women to the development of their communities and burn like a candle in their homes and everywhere in South Sudan. To provide a high quality of education rooted in Christian values and open to all faiths and none. Women who will inspire their children and husbands, fight poverty, and raise educational and living standard in societies.
The school is funded by Friends of Iba Girls, a UK-based charity. Professor John Bennington, who heads Friends of Iba's Board of Trustees, says he hopes education will help build a culture of peace in Iba County and South Sudan in general.
It is education that helps to make the peace. That education is crucial for the healing of a nation. So Friends of Iba Girls School is not just in the UK, it's now worldwide, and we count ourselves privileged to be friends with you.
Bennington says his charity has so far collected 500,000 sterling pounds and hopes to collect more money to support the school. Western Equatoria State's Education Minister, Pierre Philip Michael, says educated women value their education, and he believes the girls who graduate from Iba Girls' School will become better citizens, leaders, and mothers. He says households with educated women are less poor because such women play a key role in economic development and tend to be better than men in establishing and operating small enterprises. He says training more teachers is critical.
We are focusing on female teachers' development. Employing women in teaching and educational management alongside their male counterparts is a key component of an education system that responds to the needs of children, the needs of families, and the needs of communities. In many developing countries, female students are encouraged to stay in school and complete their education because of the influence of female role models at their schools.
Officials hope the new school will help address gender inequities in South Sudan's educational system. According to Ministry of Education statistics released in 2012, only 29.2% of the 1,365,000 pupils enrolled in school that year were girls. In addition, South Sudan female teachers constitute only 12.8% of primary school and 10.2% in secondary schools. Though there are three girls' boarding secondary schools in Western Equatoria, this is the state's first girls' boarding primary school. For VOA News, I'm Gift Friday in Yambio, Western Equatoria State.
Thank you, everybody!
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Spoiled or contaminated food poses a serious health hazard, particularly for children and the elderly. The World Health Organization reports that thousands of Africans die every day from food-related diseases. Experts suggest these steps to help protect you and your family. Before preparing food, it's very important to wash your hands. This can prevent most cases of food poisoning. Only cook with fresh meat and fish. To avoid the spread of harmful bacteria, never prepare raw meat or fish on the same board or surface used to prepare vegetables or grain. Make sure meat, fish, and eggs are cooked thoroughly. Store leftover foods in covered containers in a cool location out of the sun. Do not consume food that smells rotten or contains mold or other impurities.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, arrests are made in Nigeria of suspected members of Boko Haram. Stay tuned.
For all the latest in-depth news and analysis on events in South Sudan, tune in to Voice of America's South Sudan in Focus, Monday through Friday from 1630 to 1700 UTC. You can email us at southsudan@voanews.com.
We are also on the web at voanews.com/South Sudan or download our podcast on iTunes. That's South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Put your flags
up in the sky. Hi, this is Sonny Young of the Sunny Side of Sports. Visit voafootball.com for live updates on the World Cup in Brazil. The site is optimized for your mobile phone or tablet and will bring you the latest scores, stats, photos, and videos. And everything can be shared with your friends from your mobile device to Facebook and Twitter. World Cup nonstop at voafootball.com.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what do you think makes a good friend?
A good friend should be there when you need them. Secondly, you know, they should advise you and probably, you know, share.
A good friend is someone that listens, that cares, someone that can bend over backwards for you.
A good friend is the one who listens to you and the one who helps you when no one else can.
It's all about trust, communication, loyalty, and love. Without those, then a true friend cannot be made.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus. It's time for our Tuesday health segment. Today we are talking about female circumcision. Cameroon and the World Health Organization have launched a new campaign against the practice, which critics call female genital mutilation. It is still practiced in the Central African nation for commercial reasons and the traditional belief that it makes a woman faithful to her husband. Moki Edwin Kinzeka reports for VOA in Yaoundé.
It was 5 a.m. when I arrived at the Nkolbison neighborhood in Yaoundé, where a lady, popularly known as Ma Julie, secretly does female circumcision. She already has a 9-year-old girl brought by her mother to be circumcised.
My mother brought me here that we should meet one woman to treat us.
Ma Julie does not want me to come closer to her traditional operating area, but I can see two pairs of scissors and razor blades in a dish 3 meters away. She tells VOA she does not use the blades on her clients in the afternoon when temperatures are high, because it can lead to excessive bleeding.
This thing they talk say me will stop them for once. So this thing don't take time since long, long time ago.
This is something that has always existed in our tradition. Our parents did it. Our grandparents did it. And our great-grandparents promoted this act. When you remove those parts of a woman, she eventually remains faithful to her husband. Don't you want a faithful wife? She asks. Cameroon's Minister of Women's Empowerment and the Family says female circumcision is an economic activity and a source of livelihood to some of the promoters. The ministry says that is why it is giving money to the promoters to change their activities. Ma Julie received $100 but tells VOA that she makes more than that in a month.
They give me one fowl, then they give me 5,000. But today, so government talks me will stop this thing.
She says her clients give her a chicken and $10 for each circumcision, and now the government is asking them to stop the practice. We shall not, she concludes. Cameroon's Minister of Women's Empowerment and the Family, Marie-Thérèse Abena Ondua, says she encounters similar arguments from others who perform circumcision.
Si vous essayez de discuter avec ceux qui pratiquent, ils vont vous dire, mais ils vont vivre comment? C'est pour cela donc qu'il faut arriver.
She says when they argue with those who promote FGM, they ask you how they will live without it, and that is why you must give enough assistance for promoters to stop the activity, since you cannot ask them to abandon the practice without giving them money to live on. So we are looking for funding to ensure the conversion of promoters. An estimated 140 million girls and women around the globe have undergone circumcision. According to medical experts, the practice causes severe pain and has several long-term consequences, including difficulties in childbirth. Moki Edwin Kinzuka, VOA News, Yaoundé.
From Cameroon, we move next door to Nigeria. Authorities say they have arrested nearly 500 suspected Islamist insurgents in southern Nigeria, far from the northern war zone. Some analysts say the move could be distraction from the government's failed effort to locate more than 200 schoolgirls kidnapped more than 2 months ago. Heather Maddock reports.
The men and reportedly a few women were traveling in more than 30 buses when they were stopped by the Army Sunday and detained at an army barracks in Abia State. Local officials said they were suspected of being members of Boko Haram, an Islamist insurgent group that has killed thousands of people in the past 5 years, mostly in the far northeast of the country.
They are traitors. Do you know who I am? I'm their chairman. My name is.
But on a scratchy phone line from the southern city of Port Harcourt, Balamato Danbam, a traditional leader from the north, says the travelers were traders looking to do business in the south. A church bomb in another southern city over the weekend again raised fears that Boko Haram is seeking to operate in the south. Meanwhile, in the north, another attack was reported with more than 20 people killed Sunday in the village of Daku. More than 200 schoolgirls kidnapped in April remain missing despite pledges from Nigerian authorities and governments around the world to free them. The chairman of the U.S. House of Representatives Committee on Africa, Global Health, Global Human Rights, and International Organizations, Chris Smith, spoke recently in Abuja.
Boko Haram is a lethal force. They have grown in capability, in weapons, and the ability to evade detection. The effort will be protracted. No one's going to let up until the girls are released and until this violence is ended.
Other visiting members of Congress said the United States is providing training and intelligence to help Nigeria combat Boko Haram and find the girls, but it has not discussed placing boots on the ground. Several countries have designated Boko Haram a terrorist organization, including the United States, Britain, and Nigeria. But analysts say mass arrests in the south, far from the insurgency, usually do not lead to convictions. Heather Murdoch for VOA News, Abuja.
And that's our show for this Tuesday. We now leave you with the song Salam by Lomerica. We have been listening to Lomerica with the song Salam. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for allowing us into your homes and cars. We hope you can join us tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.